Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Attica Bank conference call to present and discuss the full year 2021 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Nikos Koutsogiannis, CFO of Attica Bank. Mr. Koutsogiannis, you may now proceed.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure to welcome you to the financial year 2021 results presentation of Attica Bank. I have the pleasure to have here with me the bank CEO, Mr. Michalis Andreadis, the CRO, Mr. Frangiskos Psilas, and our group treasurer, Marinos Danalatos, and myself, Nikos Koutsogiannis, the CEO of the bank. At this point, I would like to turn to our CEO, Mr. Andreadis, for an opening statement. Mr. Andreadis, if you may, please.
Dear Nikos, thank you. Thank you all for participating in this conference call for financial year 2021 statements. In 2021, we show the bank restoring its regulatory capital position through the successful completion of a 240 million euros share capital increase back in December 2021, while at the same time, Attica Bank widened its shareholder base, adding two further long-term investors, namely the HFSF and Renault Limited, which together with strategic investor TMEDA, are committed to support the bank in its transformation journey. In 2022, Attica Bank is reshaping its future, focusing on cleaning up its legacy issues and executing a transformation plan that will allow the bank to return to sustainable profitability and growth. Key priorities of the bank relate to decisive NPE cleanup, credit expansion, redesign of its operating model, digitalization to drive cost containment, generating value from non-core assets, optimizing its liquidity position, and adjusting governance arrangements to support the implementation of its business plan. I would like to thank you once again. I will pass the floor to Nikos for further elaboration on the financial statements for 2021. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Andreadis, for this opening statement. So, ladies and gentlemen, we proceed with the presentation that has been uploaded on the bank's website. We start off with the macroeconomic environment. We all appreciate that the Greek economy is rebounding. However, the geopolitical circumstances pose an uncertainty with regards to what lies ahead. So GDP in Greece, based on the estimates of esteemed institutions, grew by 7.7% on a yearly basis in Q4. This way, reflecting the strong export performance and the significant contribution from private consumption, which has rebounded following the easing, let's say, of the COVID-19 situation, the pandemic effects over the economy. However, we all know that the first quarter has been hit hard by the geopolitical crisis in the wider Ukrainian area. What we see in terms of economic indicators, we see a slight decrease in the ESI, that is the economic sentiment indicator, and we also experience a significant increase of energy prices, and we are waiting to see what the result is going to be on private as well as public spending. According to IOVE, which is responsible for making analysis in the Greek economy, Greece is fourth in terms of dependence on energy imports. This is a major, challenge for the Greek economy, however tackled in terms of national and supranational initiatives. It's evident that electricity and fuel prices are set to peak during the first months of 2022. High energy costs are expected to affect the other components of the consumption basket. And we also experiencing increasing trends in inflation, and we understand that the intuition is that this is going to be something which is not going to be short-term, but we will have to live for some time now with increased inflation. With regards to the financial sector, and most specifically banks, what we've seen during 2021 is a slight decrease in net flows of private deposits in Greek banks. More specifically, deposits from private sector were reduced by 260 million euros in February, out of which 215 stemmed from corporate entities and 45 million euros from households. The cost, that is the price, the yield of new disbursements in the corporate sector stood at 2.9%, marginally reduced. And still in Greece, yields are somehow higher compared to the EU average by 146 basis points. Since the beginning of 2020, financing to non-financial corporates has reached the levels of 29.5 billion euros, with a declining trend. Now, coming to the financials of Attica Bank for FY 2021. Core banking income, that is the income produced by net interest income and net commission income, that is excepting trading book activities, stood at 60.1 million euros, slightly increased 4.5 million euros on a year-to-year basis. Fee and commission income stood up by an impressive 69%. Excluding one-off items in the fee income line, increase is at 30%. What's very important is to state, as we'll discuss further on the presentation, that most of this, or almost all of this net income, net fee increase, comes from transactional banking and operations within the branch networks. The bank, especially in 2021, and especially with a much more enhanced focus in the beginning of 2022, continued its emphasis on cost reduction. Personnel expenses have decreased by 3.4% year on year in 2021. Following a successful VRS program in the second quarter of 2021, whereby 64 people left the bank. And I will also have to state that there's another program ongoing where we expect that the further decrease, further savings are going to be produced in the staff and, staff and personnel expenses FSLI by approximately 4.5 million euros from 2022 and onwards. With regards to asset quality, without taking into account securitization of Tier 1 and 2, the NPE IFRS NPE ratio stands at 33.6%, and the cash coverage of those stands at 45.5%, which is a comfortable coverage ratio, considering the composition of the bank's NPE portfolio that we will discuss later on. New financing and refinancing stood at 361 million euros for 2021, out of which 334 are referred to corporate entities and 27 million euros in retail loans. Now, the increase in the retail banking business is almost four times higher compared to the one in 2020. Cost efficiency and liquidity increased customer deposits by 4.3% on year-to-year. Gross loans to deposits stand still at very low levels, that is slightly less than 57%. And the bank has further diversified the source of funding in collaboration with a platform that is a raising whereby the bank is able to attract deposits from EU depositors. And we also expect that with the unrolling of the bank's digital program, we'll be in a position to become a digital deposit gatherer in order to further diversify funding sources. COVID-19 impact as an indicator of NPEs to come. Only 37 million euros of loan exposures have made use of forbearance measures in 2021 due to the COVID-19 impact, and just 70 million euros into financing programs sponsored by the state. This is just 11.2% of the total performing loan portfolio of the bank. With regards to the business model remains firm. However, enhancements are to be expected. And we also have capital actions unfolding in 2022 in order to strengthen the bank regulatory capital in order to be in a position to use this as a fuel going forward in terms of credit expansion. What we see very interestingly is the fact that we are experiencing a steady increase of digital channel users, new products and services available made to the bank to the common public. Going into the profit and loss statement on page 8, we see the NII has come down by 16.2%. This is mainly due to the decrease of interest income generated from loans portfolio, attributable 12.4%. And this comes as a result of significant repayments experienced throughout the Greek banking system in 2021. Now, this decrease has been only partly offset by the astonishing, I would say, decrease in funding by 16% on year-on-year. As we mentioned before, fees and commissions have gone up by 69%, 30% on a like-for-like basis, driven mainly by commissions from transactional banking and increased commissions from loans and letters of guarantees. With regards to the cost base, personnel expenses have decreased by 3.4%, mainly due to the VRS successful completion of the VRS program back in Q2 2021. This will produce an annual saving not fully captured in 2021, but on an annual basis estimated at 2.6 million euros. And on top of that, as I mentioned before, we have a new VRS program taking place in 2022, where we also expect 4.6 million euros in terms of 4.5 million euros in terms of further savings. So this all adds up to something like 7 million euros on an annual basis. With regards to cost of risk, excluding new provisions for the securitized portfolios, as Tier 1 and 2, cost of risk on the remaining non-securitized loan book of the bank stands at 0.7%, in line with the bank's budget and expectations. Diving a bit deeper on the FSLIs of P&L on page 10, we see the increase in core banking income. Net interest income has decreased by 16.2%. Fees and commission on the net basis have increased by almost six times. 5.5 million euros in the FSLI net fee income refers to one-off non-recurring commission fees. Gain and losses from securities, unfortunately, and as we are all aware of, 2021 has not been a very good year in terms of fixed income securities, but the bank has been able to manage the risk here and decreasing the losses suffered in Q1 2021, starting from 14 million euros approximately, down to just 7 million euros at the end throughout the whole period, the year of 2021. Another income at 4 million euros, significantly higher compared to 2020, mainly as a result of the revaluation of investment properties, which has produced gains of circa 1 million euros. On slide 11, with regards to commission income, you can see the breakdown of commission income. You will see that mainly it comes from network operations, which is a good thing. And we also expect that this channel will be producing further credit risk-free revenues in the years to come. The bank is placing a lot of emphasis in this area, and we also expect that the bank assurance business, not fully mature during the times of COVID-19, is expected to kick in the years to come through a very good cooperation that the bank has established back in December 2019 with a niche player in the Greek insurance market, which is Inter-American. On slide 12, we see the value of monetary transactions through the bank's alternative channels. We see that the total value of electronic transactions in 2021 reached over 1 billion euros at 1.3 billion euros. The increase in users is 17%, and in terms of transactions, the increase is 22%. And we also see that the increase in volume of mobile banking transactions year on year has almost doubled during 2021. On the cost base, on slide 13, you can see the composition of operating expenses. We've discussed before the reduction of personnel expenses, a bit higher compared to admin expenses compared to prior year for specific reasons, and an increase in depreciation mainly driven or attributable to a non-recurring write-off of intangible assets of approximately 3 million euros during 2021. So total recurring operating expenses stand at 77 million euros compared to 71 in the previous year, out of which 1.3 million euros refer to COVID-19 related expenses. This represents, in this analysis, an increase of 8%. But as we mentioned before and also emphasized by the CEO, the bank is placing emphasis on this area with cost reduction initiatives to bear fruit during the second semester, especially of 2022. Coupled with the new VRS program already alive and partially completed. On the balance sheet, on slide 15, you can see the composition of the bank's balance sheet, what has changed compared to prior year. There is a decrease in the contribution of net loans over total assets, And this is mainly due to the completion of the Omega securitization, whereby the bank carved out approximately 300 million euros of NPEs in various stages and included them into the Omega securitization. So in this case, we see that net loans currently stand at 1.3 billion euros. Securities, which includes fixed income and senior note securitizations, namely Omega and Metexelixis, stands at just south of 1.2 billion euros. DTA significantly decreased from 421 million euros to just 267, attributable to the activation of the DTC, the first time ever activation of DTC transposition into cash, completed in August 2021, and before the share capital increase of 240 million euros. And you can also see that the bank has surplus liquidity, whereby cash stands at just south of half a billion euros, compared to just south of 200 million euros back in 2020. So total assets at the end of 2021 stand at just south of 3.7 billion euros, compared to 3.6 in 2020. With regards to the funding mix, time deposits still is the major contributor in terms of funding, standing at 1.8 billion euros compared to 1.6 billion euros in 2020. This is important because, as we mentioned before, a significant reduction in funding costs has also been achieved. So this means effectively that the elasticity of time deposits with regards to the interest rate is quite low. And this also validates, in our view, the trust that the depositors see in Attica Bank. Core deposits stand at 1.1 billion euros, practically unchanged compared to the previous year. ECB funding at more or less the same levels, and increased equity position at 331 million euros compared to 209 in 2020, following the successful capital raise of 240 million euros. Loan portfolio breakdown on slide 16. You can see that the bank's portfolio is mainly skewed in terms of corporate banking. The bank for a number of years has been considered to be a boutique corporate bank, and the retail side is just starting to picking up in 2021. Excluding portfolios as Tier 1 and 2 already securitized and underway for being carved out of the bank's balance sheet, then we can see that large corporates contribute to 65% of the total loan portfolio, and SMEs with 15% of the bank's loan portfolio. On the asset quality side, on slide 17, we see the composition of IFRS NPEs. Most of these NPEs, if practically all of these NPEs, are included in the Tier 1 and 2 securitization. So in effect, post-successful sale of the mezzanine and the junior notes and SRT, the bank effectively will have less than 5% NPE ratio. The gross book value of NPE stands at just less than 700 million euros, accumulated provisions at 324 million euros, and the cash coverage, as we said, is at 46%, and also factoring in the coverage by collaterals, capped at the value of the loans, then total coverage exceeds 100%, meaning that the bank can suffer stresses going forward successfully without impairing its cost of risk estimates as they stand right now. On slide 18, we see the breakdown of IFRS NPEs with regards to category classification of NPEs. 42% refer to denounced loans compared to 36% in prior year. And NPLs, that is 90 days past due, 50% compared to 44% last year. NPL per segment, per asset class, mortgages is an important contributor, 46%, and large corporates and SMEs with 35%. Now, it's important to state that the composition of the NPE portfolio of Attica Bank is very, very different compared to the rest of the sector, meaning that the high contribution of mortgages allows the bank to live with a lower, relatively, cash coverage ratio compared to the rest of the banking system. In terms of liquidity, on slide 19, With regards to the evolution of deposits, there's an increase of 4.3%. And what's very important to note on the graph on the lower right-hand side, that the cost of deposits has decreased from 90, approximately, basis points back in December 2020 to 45 basis points on time deposits and 33 on total deposits. As we speak, new production of time deposits runs below 30 bps. On slide 20, the important takeaway is that the bank is fully compliant with the minimum liquidity KPIs, regulatory ratios. LCR ratio stands at 255%, far exceeding the minimum threshold of 100%. And NSFR for a number of years now, over 100%, meaning that the bank enjoys long-term liquidity as well, along with short-term liquidity, which is the LCR ratio. With regards to the composition of the fixed income portfolio, you can see that almost 60% refers to GGBs and approximately 9% to other sovereign bonds. On slide 21, we have a graphical depiction of the capital adequacy bridging. We start off with the total capital adequacy ratio of 2.8% back in 2020. Mind you that in 2020, the bank booked record losses of over 300 million euros. So what we saw in 2021 is a consumption of regulatory capital through RWA increase due to new loan production. The IFRS phase-in, which has decreased 1.4 percentage points the total capital adequacy ratio. And this has all been cured with the share capital increase of 240 million euros, which has contributed approximately 8 percentage points to the bank's capital adequacy ratio. So where we stand right now, we stand with a total capital adequacy ratio of 11.8%, far higher than the minimum threshold of 10.71%. And CET1 and Tier 1 capital adequacy ratios stand at 8.3% compared to the minimum threshold for Tier 1 especially of 8.03%. And RWAs before pre-HAPS stand at 2.8 billion euros, lower by 300 million euros compared to 2020, without, however, reducing the overall loan balance. Now, in section 5, we include a couple of slides regarding the bank's strategy update for over the next 3 years. The landmark transaction was a share capital increase back in December 2021, as also stated by the bank CEO. The bank successfully completed that, had enjoyed the inflow of 240 million euros in the bank's share capital, which allowed it to restore the capital adequacy ratios. And, of course, as mentioned by the CEO, as emphasized by the CEO, we have the inclusion of two new shareholders long-term, HFSF with approximately 63%, TMEDE, strategic already existing investor in the bank with just less than 15%, IEFCA with 10.3%, and the newcomer, Renault LTD and Elton Solutions, with just south of 10%. An important takeaway is the fact that the bank appreciates, based on the announcements made back in December 2021, 13th of December, that there is a shareholders agreement, that the bank will be fully cleaned up, and in this context there is support in order for the bank to proceed swiftly in becoming a clean bank, effectively. So for this purpose, the shareholders are willing to invest another 365 million euros through a share capital increase, provided that the bank proceeds swiftly with the cleaning up of the legacy NPE issues. However, it's very important to state that due to the wider geopolitical situation, the increasing spread of Greek sovereigns compared to the EU average, the cost of the HAPS program has increased significantly. The bank is running full speed in getting the preliminary ratings for the senior notes of Astir 1, 2, and Omega. And upon completion of this process, the bank will assess all available options in order to meet the clean bank target, be it HAPS or alternative tools. The last slide, 24, refers to some qualitative aspects of the bank's strategy going forward. which is that the bank will focus on niche business segments expected to be benefited from the RRF and other programs currently running at the national and supranational level. Also, the bank will focus on key activities and product offerings, meaning that the bank will likely focus on products will be high yielding and more suitable to the bank's current infrastructure and resources. The bank is also trying to achieve partnerships. And in terms of funding, as we said before, we are trying to further diversify the funding sources in order to have the funds available to finance this whole project. This completes the core presentation, and the rest of the part is the appendices. So, operator, I would like to pass on the floor to you for any questions, and we could begin the Q&A section. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Koutsogiannis for any closing comments. Thank you.
I would like to thank everyone for your patience and your attention. Mr. Andriadis, if you have a final statement, or we can wrap up this call.
Thank you, Nikos. I would like to thank everyone for participating in the call, and looking forward to meeting you in the next conference call for the first half financial statements of 2022. Thank you.